Yeah. Well, we're in our last lesson for this great weekend. Just want to take a minute or two or however many just to say thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me, inviting my family. My parents came down with, and it's been what we needed. I hope it's been what you needed. We're going to come away from this energized and pumped up, ready to serve our King. Y'all have been so good to us. The great potluck yesterday and the nice meal today and all the care you've shown, especially for my wife when she was recovering. We're just deeply thankful. This is indeed my first gospel meeting of sorts. Never done one of these things before. I'm not actually a full-time preacher. I am a full-time musician of sorts, so the singing comes pretty naturally with what we do. And I'm just thankful for all the hymn writers through the years that have hundreds of years. If you look at the little dates down at some of these, some come from 300-400 years, and they're still around, and we still sing them, and they still have importance, and they still have the truth in them. And I hope I've impressed upon you that this weekend, is that these hymns are useful. These hymns are very useful. We can use them to teach, and we can use them to remember important things. And just the collective exercise of coming together and singing them together is utterly good for us. It's just an amazing experience that we need to take seriously and to take every opportunity that we can to sing together, especially the words of the Bible and spiritual matters. So with that said, thank you again. Thank you. It's been such a pleasure. But we've reached our final lesson, and we've covered a lot of ground, and we've covered a lot of hymns. So you should be commended. We've sung a lot from the hymnal. We haven't just sung a couple songs. We've really done a lot. We've celebrated Jesus as King. We've discussed how we should appropriately respond to His authority, and we've anticipated His return someday. And every culture has their heroes. We sing about what it means to be like Christ, our true hero. And during the sermon hour today, we talked about the many other awesome things that Jesus is in addition to our King. And all of these truths building the case that He is the Son of God, who should be honored, trusted, and followed with every fiber of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. To start off this lesson, to get us on the path, I'll just ask you a question. What do you think is the most known scripture in the world, by both believers and non-believers? Just think about it for a little bit. You know, where I live now, it's don't judge. Right? That's where I live, in New York City. Don't judge, it says in the Bible. Of course, they're coming wildly out of context and completely incomplete. Perhaps John 3:16, you'll see a lot of those signs. We see them, people post them in the subways and stuff. And it's a very important verse, but people know John 3:16, but they usually don't know what it says. They recognize the John 3:16 part. And it could be, and probably, the opening line of the song we're going to sing in a little bit. The opening line of David's song. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I think a lot of people know that, right? Non-believers and believers. We're going to talk about David and being a shepherd today and a relationship with the sheep and what that entails and what we can learn from that. But before we do that, I just want to think about just David, just talk about him again. We talk about David a lot because we're talking about Jesus as King and the best example that we have in our Bible to kind of understand how Jesus is such a good king as we look to David, right? That was Jesus comes from the lineage of David. So much is written about David. He has more narrative about him in the Bible than just about anybody else. And if you read past David's history in the line of kings, all of the kings, Israel and Judah, are always compared to David. They're always, he did so-and-so did such-and-such just like David. Or so-and-so didn't do what David did. And they're always compared to David. So let's talk about David again for a little bit. Perhaps part of what made David such a good king was that he started out as a lowly shepherd boy, right? But he wasn't just a shepherd. He was really good at it. He spent a lot of time out in the pasture protecting his flock from predators and such. And he learned not only how to protect, but how to provide for others, even if those others were sheep. If you know anything about sheep, wouldn't you be surprised? I live in New York City, but I grew up with cows as neighbors, and I worked on a farm in middle school and such. I've been around a lot of farm. I still hold it dearly. If you know anything about sheep, that they're not very bright. They're pretty dumb. They need just about everything given to them. And they need constant care, otherwise they'd wander off and either starve or get eaten, right? And this is what perhaps is the striking part about David's first line in his psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He humbles himself to being one of those sheep, right? One who needs constant care and protection, and that care and protection can only come from the Lord. So this afternoon we're going to look at Psalm 23 and consider how David continues his shepherd-sheep analogy, not just in the first verse, but all the way through to the very end. Every bit of the psalm is about the ways that the Lord cared and provided for David. And you can sense the fullness of the Lord's love and that David 100% trusted in the Lord to provide. So let's sing our first hymn together. Very rarely, actually, if you look in the songbook, in the hymn book, do we get word for word a song that we can sing word for word from the Bible. And this is one of those great cases. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me in pastures green. He leadeth me. The choir trust of David, don't you? Yeah. What would this psalm actually look like if I'd written it? Here we go. At various times of unbelief in my lifetime, how differently would it read, and what story would it tell? Maybe it would read like this. The Lord is my shepherd, yet I still want. Right? Greener pastures on which to graze, and a mighty rushing river from which to drink. Only then will I be satisfied. He guides me, and I go on his sometimes strenuous and inconvenient path of righteousness because I want it to seem like he's leading me. And when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I worry a lot. And I'm terrified despite you being with me, Lord. But put away your staff and rod, Lord, because I can handle the struggles and the trials on my own. Lord, I love it when you bless me in front of my enemies. Whew, they sure get jealous of me. Whew. I sure am glad I worked all that overtime, because now my cup is surely overflowing. And surely, if I've been good and kind the rest of my life, the Lord will have to let me in heaven when I die. I earned it, didn't I? I know, it's a silly exercise, right? It's a silly exercise, but it's telling. It's a telling exercise. It reveals how I act at times when I think I'm my own shepherd, trying to provide everything for myself. And the results are always the same, right? It's always failure. Vanity of vanities, all is futility, right? That's what Solomon says. The truth is, we're better off not being our own shepherd. And I think we all deep down know that. It's better to humble ourselves and be led by the Lord, to trust him completely with all of our needs. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know the saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from
lie down in green pastures. Food. He leads me beside still waters. Water. He restores my soul, health, and goodness. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Discipline and guidance and direction. You know, something I learned about sheep, and you may know this already, is that they won't drink from moving water. It terrifies them. It scares them. So a good shepherd knows to lead their sheep to still water, just like David said in this poem. The shepherd knows his sheep, and they know their shepherd. In the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5-7, Jesus uses a chunk of his time teaching to impress on his listeners not to worry about basic needs like food and water and clothing. He says to look at nature, the birds and the flowers, how marvelous they are. Do they worry about these things? No, they don't. Jesus ends the section of teaching by saying, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Our shepherd certainly provides us with our basic needs, and more importantly, as the bread of life and the living water, he restores our souls. Let's sing Seek Ye First.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Ask and it shall
shepherd, I indeed lack nothing. And that includes comforting personal protection. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Do you know what the most commanded commandment is in the Bible? If you think about not just Jesus saying it, but just all the way through the whole Bible. What's the most commanded command? Don't fear. I heard somebody say it. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. Not only do we have a protector of our souls, but he is present. He's not far away. He knows what's harmful for each of us, and he's always available to not let it harm us. Our job is to stay in his flock, right? Anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go. Let's sing this together.
Anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go. Jesus, I
I cannot live without thee.
Be with me, Lord.
Prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Here we are at another imagination exercise. I like these. Imagine for a moment you're a sheep, and you're being led by your shepherd to a beautiful green pasture. One of the most beautiful green pastures you've ever seen in your whole sheep life. Like some of the valleys around here, just very beautiful. It's got the best grass, a little bit of alfalfa, some clover, and that touch of mint. It's a perfect feast. That shepherd, he led me to the best field. And you're munching away, enjoying yourself, getting full on the best that there is. And you look up for a moment, and you see right up on the ridge a couple wolves. Over on this ridge, you see a lion, just kind of looking down at all the sheep in the pasture, looking for an opportunity. And you peek over to look at your shepherd. And he walks over to you, pats you on your back, scratches your ears a little bit, and he whispers in your ear, says, "I see them up there. Enjoy your dinner, my little one." A relationship with Jesus is one full of love, full of affection, affirmation, genuine care, and overflowing with blessing. O thou fount of every blessing.
O thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace, strength of mercy, never ceasing, call for song. Glory fills my heart with
shepherd, I indeed, I say it again, lack nothing. And that includes peace and assurance. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do sheep worry? Do they worry about whether the shepherd will provide or if they're abandoned? Don't think so. Sheep live contented, and they live in the now in the midst of a good shepherd. They don't worry about the future. They enjoy the blessings of the pasture that they're in. They enjoy the blessings of the still waters that they're drinking. They enjoy the blessings of the shepherd that is there protecting and caring for them and giving preference to them. We can learn a lot from sheep, right? And I think David obviously did. With Christ, we have the blessing of everlasting arms to lean upon and eternal assurances, and how blessed they are. Leaning on the everlasting arms.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior.
Trustworthy to provide our basic needs spiritually and physically, comforting personal protection, abundant blessings and affirmation, and peace and eternal assurances. And it's awesome to think David's inspiration for these truths came from caring for his family's flock of sheep. And I love this kind of scripture that reveals spiritual truths through everyday means like jobs, nature, family. These kinds of lessons are before our eyes all the time, just like David and his sheep. So, to the actual title of this lesson, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. It's a fitting title for a lesson on Psalm 23. Actually, when we look at the lyrics, it really tells the story of what we've been talking about. All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercies, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell, for I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, and feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. And all the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of his love. Perfect rest for me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit, clothed immortal, wings its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. I love those words. With these words in mind, it's time to offer an invitation. And often invitation hymns are designed to weigh on our hearts, showing what's going to happen at the final judgment if we've not been washed clean in the blood of our King. They can be persuasive in their approach, for sure. But today I'm going to offer an invitation song aimed to show what it's like to have complete trust in our King right now and for eternity. It's a song about how he's the greatest provider and protector of those in his flock. If you're not in his flock, if you're not a Christian, think about what you're missing out on right now. Humble yourself like a sheep and surrender all to the Shepherd King, who will take care of you for the rest of eternity. Believe he is who he is. Repent of your old way of living and seek his will. Confess he's the Son of God and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. He can be trusted. Remember, right? He's the bread of life. He's the light of the world. He's the door of the sheep. He's the resurrection and life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the true vine, and he is the good shepherd. Trust him with everything. Come forward now if you need to make your needs known while we stand and sing together, All the Way My Savior Leads Me.
All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercies, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know Jesus, let me know.